Tonight we're going to be looking again, like I said, at the way Jesus loves and the way that he wants you and I to love as well. Because when we do that, the Lord's going to start blessing and things are going to start happening. So we're going to read John 13, starting at verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Mm-hmm. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't we follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Our Lord wants us to love with the same love that he showed for us. That's impossible for us to do apart from the person of the Holy Spirit living his life through us. The kind of love that Jesus Christ is talking about is beyond human ability to show. It's not regular kind of love. The Bible calls it agape love. It's God's love for us. So, very many Christians today think the whole Christian life is wrapped up in just one time a week, going to church, going home, and acting just like everybody else. The Lord wants us to know that's not his plan for his church at all. The Lord wants us to be a walking church to everybody around us. He wants us to love people the way he loves us. I don't know if you know it or not, but statistics tell us now that one out of every four people on this planet claims to be a Christian. That's 2.2 billion people that claim to be Christians. So why is the Christian church suddenly now the last few years? We've seen it especially the last 10 years that the church is beginning to recede instead of expand. And maybe you're wondering, why do you go past so many churches today and they're closed? I mean, there's just nobody there anymore. We go past the church when I pick up Jeremy there on Michigan as you come around the corner. It says church closed. Why? Because people aren't going to church the way they used to. Many churches now have one priest or one pastor for two or sometimes three churches. Why? Because they don't have enough people to support somebody. And so we want to go backwards. I want to go back to the first church. When the church actually started out on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there were 120 people that received Christ by faith and were worshiping Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There was 120 people in the entire Roman Empire that claimed to be Christians. At the end of the first century, that's about 70 years later, there were fewer than 10,000 Christians in the Roman Empire. That made up 0.00017% of the 60 million people that were in the empire at that time. So very, very few really claimed to be Christians. But the year 200, 100 years later, there were 200,000 believers in the empire, making up 0.36% of the empire. But the church was active at that time, showing the love of Christ. And by the end of 250 AD, that's another 50 years more, the church was almost 2% of the population. There were 1 million Christians by that time. In just two generations later, in the year 300, Christians made up approximately 10% of the Roman Empire. There were over 6 million Christians in just another 50 years. By the 4th century, there were 35 million Christians in the ancient world, and when you do the math, it was 40% of the Roman Empire was Christian. The question is not how did the early church survive. The question for us is how did the early church thrive like it did? It just grew and grew and grew. The founder of the church in Christianity was a peasant. Who wants to follow a peasant? He lived in a small country that was under Roman rule, and he was born in a city that was famous for being infamous. Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And the answer, of course, was yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came out of Nazareth. But in the beginning, Christianity was considered to be depraved by the Roman Empire. They did everything they could do to stamp it out. For 200 years plus, the church was persecuted by the Roman Empire. But it didn't make any difference because the church just kept on growing. And sometimes we wonder why. The early church didn't have church buildings like we have today. They met in people's houses. They had little money, absolutely no political influence for the first 250 years of the church. And so we wonder, how did they grow so fast? After the Apostle Paul, they really didn't have any famous pastors for a couple hundred years. And yet the church grew and grew and grew. The early church began in city centers. The Apostle Paul went from important city to important city sharing the gospel. Most of the people lived together in very crowded areas. The countryside had very few people living in it, and so the church spread in the cities. The church did not grow because people were forced into it. You know, the Muslim faith primarily grew because you either became Muslim or you died. The early church wasn't that way at all. In fact, you were in danger if you did receive Christ of dying. But the early church grew. And the secret of it all was that the early church displayed the love of Christ for people. And you didn't have to be a Christian to have the early church love you. Folks, sometimes the church today is noted for being quite stingy. If you talk to waitresses at different restaurants, they'll tell you the Christian crowd when they come in on Sunday after church is some of the stingiest people on the earth. Folks, it shouldn't be that way. Christians ought to be given the best tips. And I'm not saying throw your money away, but when you go to a restaurant and you leave a tract, be sure to put a nice tip in. It doesn't have to be the most you can possibly afford, but you're showing the love of Christ. That's how those people are making their money. I think the average waitress today earns $3.60 an hour. They exist on the tips. And so they're looking, do these people that claim to come from the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, are they generous? Do they show the love of Christ? And it's extremely important that we do that. A lot of people want to blame our culture for the reason the church is shrinking. But I think Christians have to take responsibility. Are we today actively showing the love of Christ? Can people say those Christians live different than everybody else? They're the most loving, they're the most kind, they're the most generous people around. Folks, that's how the church grows. People in need, people that are sick in your neighborhood, we ought to be the ones helping them. People would say, my aunt was really in need. She couldn't take care of herself. And the church showed up and they took care of her. We used to go over to Mrs. Vance's house. And we'd take the youth group and a few adults and we'd go up and rake up her yard. Why? Because she couldn't do it anymore. I just offered to Pat this morning. I said, Pat, spring's coming. And if you need help this spring, all you got to do is ask. We'll be there and help you. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's showing the love of Christ. And that should be available not just to church members, but it should be available to our neighbors, to our friends. When they need help, the church should be the first to step up and say, I can help. I can't do it all, but I can help. People would say, wow, those Christians really care. You know, it's interesting. So many Christians talk about the love of Christ, but do people see the love of Christ in our daily living? One of the reasons we've forgotten something that Jesus spoke in his last words to his disciples. When Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that was his last night alive on this earth. Tomorrow, he's going to the cross, and he knows it. Jesus' way of loving is extremely different than most people, even than most Christians' way of loving. And it shouldn't be. Those of us that name the name of Christ should show the love of Christ to others. Now, we've got a famous day set aside for love, of course, Valentine's Day, but we express that kind of love to each other, but that's not the love of Christ. The love of Christ is altogether different. We are called to love those that don't love us. We're called to love those that do us evil. That's an entirely different kind of love. Jesus tells us that that kind of love will draw people to him. They're going to know that's not normal. That's not you. That's Christ loving through you. And that's what he really wants to do. So the night before he died, Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, a new command I give you. This is not a suggestion. This is not something that would really be nice if you did. This is a command of Jesus Christ to every single one of us. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus calls this a new command. But in one sense, it was not a new command. Because in the Old Testament, it tells us that we are to love one another. But the reason that it's brand new is because Jesus Christ said, I want you to love one another the exact same way that I have loved you. When did Jesus Christ die for you? Two different things. He died for you when you were his enemy, because we were all opposed to Christ before we came to Christ. He died for you while your sin was on him. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's the kind of love that he asked us to have for other people. Mm-hmm. Even when they don't love us, even when the love is not reciprocal, we are to love people with all of our hearts and with the Lord's power in our lives. So the Lord wants us to know that his love is very different from the normal love of mankind. In fact, the Greek language had four different words for love. I'm going to give you a couple of those, but there is eros love, which is kind of the Valentine type of love, the romantic love. That's not the love he's talking about. The other word for that was phileo love, and that's the love of a brother for a brother or a man for his friends. It's phileo love. But the word agape love is the love of God. It's the love of Christ. And it appears 250 times in the New Testament. It's not a natural or instinctive kind of love. It's a choice that we make. It's a verb, not a noun. It's an action, not words. The Lord wants us to love in word and in truth. And so often we want to love in word, but not in truth. In John 13, 34 again, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you might want to love one another. Is that right? That's not right. You must love one another. Because if we don't show that kind of love, Christ's church is not going to grow. That's the key to having the church grow. When we really show Christ's love to others, people are going to be attracted to Christ because they're not used to that kind of love. When Jesus was on the cross, his blood is flowing out of him. He's in extreme pain. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." When we're mistreated by others, do we show that kind of love? We hate people that don't like us. We hate the way they treat us. But we shouldn't. It's a hard thing to learn, but the love of God can be learned. The more we watch how Jesus loved people, the more we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with the love of God, our lives can change too. We can be just like our Lord in loving others. Liking someone is a feeling. Loving someone is a choice. It's not a feeling. Because this is action. You can do this even when they hate you and tell you they hate you. You can choose to show the love of Christ. And when you do that, they're going to know there's something different about this person. And they're going to be attracted to Christ. It's so extremely important. We don't go by feeling. We go by faith. We don't go by feeling. We go by choice. You can make the choice to let Christ's love live in you and come through you. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commands." And this is a key one. Christ really expects his church, those that claim to be born again, to love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. We are to love exactly the same way that he did. In fact, that's the last command that Jesus ever gave before he ascended to heaven. It's extremely important to him. Jesus said, "They'll know you're my disciples by what? Not your words." A lot of Christians talk it, talk it, talk it. But they don't live it, live it, live it. And the Lord wants us to do different. Jesus not only tells us we're to love each other, but he tells us how we're to do it. Again, John 13, verse 34. "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Jesus didn't just say he loved other people, he showed it in a practical way. Now, I can't do healing, but I can help people heal emotionally. So can you. We can support them when they're ill, and help them in their illness. All of us can do that. Jesus Christ fed people. Now, I can't feed 5,000. Actually, there was probably more than 10,000. It was 5,000 men. I can't do that. But I can feed people. When we send those shoeboxes out for Christ's glory, it costs us something. We can't send one to every kid in the world. But we can send a few, and we do, and we ought to praise the Lord for that. That's showing love to people that we don't even know. People we'll probably never meet in our lifetime. But some of those children that are getting those shoeboxes, when we get to heaven, they're going to thank you personally because it may be your shoebox that they got with that tract in it that told them if they wanted to know more about Christ, all they have to do is send in a letter and request the information, and they'll help them come to faith in Christ. Folks, that could have been a shoebox that we sent. And God honors that. And people love it because we think everybody gets lots of presents. When I was a little boy, we used to get one present on Christmas Eve and then one present on Christmas. That was it because we had eight kids and our folks didn't have a lot of money. How many presents do kids that you see today get? A roomful. It's crazy. It really is. But a lot of kids around the world don't have that. And when they see those presents in that little box, it's not a lot, but when they see that, they say, "Boy, those people must love me. They don't even know me, and look what they did." Folks, that's an opportunity. It's there for anybody that will. So the world's greatest lover is not Casanova. It's not Valentine, it's Jesus Christ. And he says to you and I, if you will allow him to, he'll share his love into our hearts so that we can share that kind of love with others. For 3 years, he always put up with his disciples. He didn't call his disciples because of what they could do for him. He called his disciples because of what he could do for them. It's not about what we get out of it. It's what we can put into walking with Christ, being a blessing to others. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, he says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we can do that same thing. We can die to ourselves through the Holy Spirit filling us with God's love, and we can live to bless others with our lives. That's what the Lord's looking for. The kind of Jesus love was not just words. It's easy to say, go and be well, be fed, and be happy. But it's hard to really help people get to that point. The Lord wants us to do those things that will bless others and draw them to Christ. If we open our eyes and we look all around us, there are people everywhere that could use your help. When I talk to Jeremy, I pick him up and bring him in. He says, yep, yesterday I was able to take out the garbage for two or three of the ladies in the apartment. They can't get down the steps. And he takes it. Now, that may seem like a very small thing to us, but what do you think those widows think about that? They're seeing the love of Christ in action. And there are people everywhere that are lonely for somebody just to talk to them, just to be there for them. You have that opportunity, and so do I, and we ought to take advantage of it. We ought to be filled with Christ's love enough to say, if somebody really needs help, I'm going to try to help where I can. Again, we can't do it all, but we can do something, and we ought to do something. So our benevolence fund is another wonderful way to show love to others. Some people fall on hard times, and it's not their own fault. Maybe they need a house payment. Maybe they need a car payment. And I know that's expensive. There was a time a few years ago, somebody needed their propane tank filled. Now, we didn't fill it all the way, but we filled it enough so that they could get back on their feet and get going. We don't do that for people that don't want to work, but for people that are willing to work and just fell on a hard time, we help. And so it's extremely important we continue to do that. We love them just as Jesus loved them. So we need to share Christ, but the way we share Christ best is to show his love to others. Again, John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I said it before, I'm going to say it again so it really gets into our hearts and mind. What does a disciple do? Two things every disciple must do. The disciple follows the example of the master. What we have observed from our study of scriptures of what Jesus went about doing, he went about doing what? He went about doing good. We ought to be busy doing the same thing. So we follow the example of the master. And the second thing a disciple does, he follows or she follows the teaching of the master. So we follow the example, we follow the teaching. If we're doing that, we're going to be loving as Christ loved. And that's what he's looking for. So that's a different way of loving. That's not the world's way of loving. The world's way of loving is, if you love me, I'll love you. If you meet my needs, I'll meet your needs. Jesus said, don't operate that way. Even if they hate you, show them my love. And you can see the example of that in Jesus' life. You can see the example of that in the Apostle Paul's life. You can see the example of that in Timothy's life and Peter's life. They love people that were hating them. And we can do exactly the same thing. So, the world is not going to know you're a follower of Jesus Christ just because of what you say. Talk is cheap. They're going to know that you are Jesus' disciples by the love that you show to one another and to everyone. It's one thing to love the people in the church. They're my friends, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's another thing to love the world that hates Christianity and to keep showing them the love of Christ. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. So I was raised to believe that if I would just be a good person, I could go to heaven. Folks, that is absolutely not the truth. I learned later through Pastor Williams and his love for me what true love is and what really is going to get me to heaven. It's faith in Jesus Christ and then following his example and following his teachings. That makes me a real disciple. There's a poem that was written years ago called "I'd Rather See a Sermon Than Hear One Any Day." It says, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see a good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hand in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I'm eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stands behind, just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noted is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor learns to hold his honor dear. For right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." That was Edgar A. Guest that wrote that. Love can be adopting one of the 14.3 million orphans in this world. Stop and think that. There are 14.3 million young children that have never known the joy of having a mother or a father. I know I'm a little bit old to adopt today, but I just want to encourage people. Maybe there's a child for you. That would be an extreme way of showing the love of Christ. Those people are lonely, the children. There are 3 billion people who don't have clean water left on this earth. Maybe one of the ways of showing love would be to send a little money to Franklin Graham's organization that's building drinking wells so that people have fresh water. It may not seem important to you, but it's extremely important to them. Children are dying today because they don't have clean water. We as Christians can help. Again, we can't do it all, but we can do something. And we ought to be praying about, Lord, How can I show your love to others? We just take it for granted. Everybody's got everything they need. They don't. We are among the richest people on this earth. And we ought to be sharing to meet the needs of others. Again, you can't give everything you got, but you can give something. And we ought to be praying about it. Love may be visiting the sick. Not just people that are sick in the church, but people that you know of, that you hear about, that are sick. Maybe just taking a meal for somebody that's having a hard time right now. Folks, that can make a world of difference. Because they're going to say, somebody cares about me. Somebody understands what I'm going through. You're showing the love of Christ, and that person is going to be attracted to you. They may not even like you, but they sure like what you do, because you're still doing the right things. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And so what the Lord is saying is, don't just talk about loving people. Love people with the love of Christ. Meet their needs. Now again, you have to be careful here, because some people will take advantage of that. The Bible says if a man or woman will not work, they shouldn't eat. Now he's not talking about somebody that can't work. He's talking about somebody that could work and just chooses to be lazy. The way they're going to learn to get to work is what? Get hungry. You get hungry enough, you're going to go to work if you can. Now, we ought to help those that can't, but people that can ought to do it. Jesus tells others that we're following him, and he'll bless the church because the church literally exploded 2,000 years ago. And it exploded because the early church, in the book of Acts, it says everybody that had land, everybody that had money, sold their land and shared their money with those that were in need. Imagine if the church were doing that today. Now, I know our church does quite a bit, but maybe we can do yet more. There was a man named Aristides, and in the early days of the church, the Roman Emperor Heraclian told Aristides to go and spy on the Christians and see why so many people were becoming Christians. And Aristides went out and studied them for about a year, and he came back with this word to the emperor. He said, "Behold how they love one another." Let me ask you, if people studied our church, would they come back with that as how our church operates? Would they say, "What a wonder how those people love other people"? The first century church grew, and the second century church grew, and even the third century church grew, not because of eloquent preaching, not because of great theological teaching. It grew because Christians were active sharing the love of Christ. And if our churches today are going to continue to grow, it's going to be because we are active living the love of Christ, sharing and meeting needs and helping people that are in trouble. Father, we're grateful for your word. Mm-hmm. We're grateful, Lord, for the promise that we people will know that we're your disciples by our love one for another. Help us to actively show that love so that others can stand in amazement of your great control of us, your children. And Father will give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.